Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Easier. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, 2 Timothy 2, 24, 26, 1 Peter 2, 9, and Isaiah 6, 8. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you even to the end of the age. And a servant of the Lord, as a servant of the Lord, must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." And then it says, "You are a chosen people." Remember I said to use the first person. Put your name in there. A chosen person. "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Aren't you happy for that? "Then I heard the Lord saying, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Father, that's our cry this morning. Lord, we recognize the need. We look, it's so easy to read the signs and see the disturbances and all the things that have gone that are going on. But Lord, thank you that we take hope and we are encouraged, for greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. We pray that each one hearing this message today, Lord, online or here in the sanctuary, Lord, that we might understand the importance of the times that we're in. Because it's important to you that the church rise up and take its rightful position. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You can be seated. Mercy and grace is what we need. Lord, I'll tell you, well, I'm not going to get into it yet. As we have been looking at 2016 and recognizing, I mean, I don't know if you watched any of the devastation of what happened in Nice. The diabolic nature of what's going on, and then this morning having the three policemen. I sound better on this side, by the way. But to have the three policemen that are shot this morning, the Lord saying there's only one way to be able to deal with this. And as we've been recognizing that when we see these kinds of things going on, the 84 people, the carnage, just that is from the pit of hell, and the upheaval and the division and all these things that are going on. But the Lord says, take heart. For I've overcome the world. The people out there, the stirrings that we feel within our spirit side, because we're discerning that this is from the pit of hell. And we recognize that we have defeated the powers of the enemy. We no longer are controlled by them. And why God has said to us that he wants us to be able to be those instruments in the people's hands. I don't know if you were watching any of those things that went on, I told you, pray for this situation. Bind the spirit of the enemy, because you have been given authority over them. We've been looking at how to release that anointing and understanding of your destiny and your ministry are all linked together. This whole thing as we continue to release the anointing, understand how to release the anointing to other people. And we looked at very important areas for the days ahead that we need to recognize that everything is trying to be changed. Every area, every foundational structure that we have hung our motivations on, all of that is being redefined. And it's been attempted to be taken away from us. So when we see these types of things, we recognize that we are not fighting against the flesh. We're fighting against the spirit that would try to bring, well, I'm going to call it, you'll see the verse, it's the spirit of Antichrist. In the last days, the spirit of Antichrist is going to be a overwhelming sense of despair and confusion upon not just this nation, but the world. The enemy has to put the United States out of business because he knows that God has placed his hand on this nation. And it's where the church now has been used the mightiest for the whole world, sending out missionaries, providing finances. And this is a good nation. We are there to help people. We want to be able to have that understanding that we, a nation under God, want to be his hand and his instrument. But there's a basic goodness of this nation that we were founded upon. But that goodness has been eroded. And what's happening is we've allowed us to be redefined. When we look at this, the things that are going on here, and I looked at the children that have been run over by that big truck, and the people, there's just literally just the bodies scattered down the street. I've been on that street. It's an awesome sense of what can happen when a demonic spirit takes over someone. And I've said to you before, the enemy does not like. He hates mankind. And he wants to do everything he possibly can to defame us, to destroy us, because we were made in God's image. And how can man think up this type of action? It has to be demonically inspired. And when we realize that, and there's only one thing, only one entity can defeat the powers of the enemy, and that's the Christian and the church. We have to recognize. That's why I've been banging on this drum for the last months. You can't defeat them. You can't destroy the powers of the enemy. He'll just raise up another group, whether it be ISIS, whether it be, it doesn't make any difference. Division, chaos is what the enemy works on. And here we are shooting our policemen, the ones that are to protect us, the ones we call when we're in trouble, and now we're shooting them. Can you believe that? Can you believe that we literally now are shooting the people who are desiring to protect us? 3 this morning. It's lawlessness. And there, let me read some verses to you. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, as you remember, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, incite rebellion, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could set them free. In 1 John, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is God, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. For the spirit of lawlessness is already at work. This was written 2,000 years ago, plus. But we see the whole nature of this spirit because it was prophesied 2,000 years ago that this was going to happen. And the thing that is so encouraging, if you need to be encouraged, I know I did this past week, that the Lord says that I'm going to raise up a standard against the powers of hell. I'm going to raise up a mighty army that is going to stop this. And we have been chosen to be that army. That's why our responsibility as Christian, as stewards of this nation, is to pray and to be whatever God wants us to be. But I'll tell you one thing, when you see, now that you know we're dealing with demonic activity, if you remain silent, what we're doing is we're giving the enemy permission to be able to continue on. Boy, I'll tell you, I watched that truck take off. I know some of you saw the footage. And I was, if I could have jumped through that monitor, I would have jumped into that monitor. Because I could just sense the spirit of hell. You know that that he was there for 9 hours? There's no trucks allowed to be on that place. For 9 hours, he was at that place. And they basically just let him go. He said he was delivering ice cream. Well, that's not even a refrigerator truck. Talk about deception and how the enemy can deceive things. We have to recognize that we're dealing with spirits. And we have been given the authority over the spiritual realm. So when you see it, call it out. Whether it be in your home, at work, on the television, in Jesus' name, I bind that spirit. And if we get the church doing, and we all understand that process, what's going to happen, there's going to be a mighty wave. The sad thing about it is that many people, many Christians don't know, number one, that they have the authority, and secondly, they're just trying to make it through life. Just trying to pay the bills. Well, that's important. But the Lord already took care of that. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, my way of doing things, and all these things will be added to you. Can you understand why the enemy has done a good job at neutralizing the church? Because if we don't speak up, it's giving him permission to deal with situations. And all the things that are going on today, it's unfathomable. How can we even consider that? And realizing that it's a spirit of lawlessness who comes, like this verse said, comes in a religious spirit. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know anything about the Muslim faith, but I've taught on it, and I do know we're talking about, and this is going to be, I'm not a hater. God loves everyone. But we're not talking about the same God. We're not talking about Allah and God. And I'll put it on the, Bible says you shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. And many people, many pastors, many people are afraid to be able to speak out against this situation. But by not bringing clarity and understanding, people live in deception. And that spirit that led that religion. This is not the first time that this has happened when they've gone after to control. They've done it many times. Through the Spirit literally giving them permission to kill people, the infidel. Nowhere in Christianity are we to kill people. We're to do what? We're to love them to death. And this whole understanding, and what happens today, from a spiritual perspective, it's the spirit of Antichrist. We are the spirit of Christ. There is a spirit of Antichrist that's trying to control the world today. And it's done a good job. And to consider in this nation that we're in the process by the end of September to have 10,000 more Syrian refugees come in, and we know nothing about who they are. But they promise, ISIS promised. This is not a political thing, it's a spiritual thing. They promise that there are ISIS operators, jihadists, in that group of people. And all they do, they get a gun from somebody or get a truck. I'm a Second Amendment advocate. I believe in guns. I believe if someone comes into my house and I'm supposed to be there, I'm liable to show them my gun. But what are we going to do? Outlaw trucks now? Huh? No longer can we have trucks. Look what happened. You get someone that is demonically inspired behind a butter knife. But we realize that this kind of evil is swept over. The morality process where we're being changed, the definition of family's been changed, the definition of marriage's been changed. Now we're defining what is right and what is wrong. And that's what Scripture says. When you see these things, I'm about ready to pour out my spirit. And I believe that it's stirring. For those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we dealt with the situation of how to stop robbery in your life and this exposing the tactics of the enemy. And the reasons why for spiritual attacks, and we looked through them, and all the different things that are signs of what we went through this, the fear, the panic, the anger, the insecurity, the drugs, the alcohol, all these kinds of things it's either black or white, folks. It either is of God or it's not of God. It's not halfway in between. You don't straddle the fence. It hurts. And what happens in this process, what's happening, the gray area is getting smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually it's going to be choose this or choose that. And as I talked about last week, being outside of God's will is dangerous. You are safe in God's will. In God's will for your life, you are invincible. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I know people that are, and I think I mentioned it, canceling, they're afraid to get on a plane, afraid to go in the airport, afraid to go to a baseball game. Something's liable to happen. That spirit of fear is absolutely saturating this nation. But I'll tell you one thing, the Christian is invincible to the powers of the enemy in God's will. And if God tells you to get on an airplane, like I said, get on the airplane. If he says you're going to Chicago, get on the airplane. Go to Chicago. Not halfway there. But this whole recognition of what's being taken from us. And it's going to continue. And now, watch. They're going to go after the church. They're going to go after the church. In fact, they've already gone after it. We have to be very careful what we say in the pulpit. Yeah, I'm very careful. I'm careful to say exactly what the truth is. And in the process of our recognizing that there has been, I told you last week that 75, what is it? Right now, that was another statistic. Right now, in the governor's desk, on the governor's desk, they are going after the Christian colleges, not allowing them to be able to speak anything that is untoward anybody. You cannot require a person to be a Christian to go to a Christian college. There's no statement of faith that you can make anymore. You don't have to do that. And you're only allowed to use the Bible and pray in the religion class. You can't use it. You can't speak the name of the Lord. You can't share from a Christian perspective in any other class except the religion class. And it's on the governor's desk, and they're going to try to pass it. You know why this is all? In order to not hurt someone or to differentiate between someone else and the other. So what we've done, like we do, we swing completely to the other side. Instead of saying we want to watch over the minority, now we're making the minority dictate to the majority. And because we don't want to defend them. We don't want to offend them. So they can come in, use whatever bathroom they want. They can do whatever they want to do. And we don't want to offend them. And if we do, the government will take away any kind of whatever support or whatever it might be from. And what they're going to try to do, mark my word, take away the tax status. Take away the tax status. Right now, because the church, and this is the way it began, because the church was doing the social help. We'll just use that word. The church was the one that were feeding the poor, that we were housing the poor. We were taking, that was the church's job. So therefore, the government said, we want to allow you a tax-free situation. Let the people give to you, and it will be tax-deductible. And that's the tithe. So so you will continue doing the work of your ministry, feeding the poor, going into prisons, helping out, all the other things that God, Jesus tells us to do. So what they're going to do, and people tithe, give to the church, but a lot of people tithe just because it's a tax deduction. And they said, that's okay. Happy to do it. But what happens if they take away the tax deduction? How many Christians, and how would that hurt the church? What would it do to the church when we don't have the funds to be able to pay bills or help the poor? What an interesting way to be able to shut the church down. The enemy is always manipulating. He's looking for a way to neutralize us. And I sound like I'm bringing bad news, but I told you at the beginning, it's not bad news. It's wake-up news. Let the Spirit be released and tell the truth, because the truth sets us free. So even though it sounds sort of weird, in the midst of what we're seeing today, it's a sure sign of the Lord about ready to move. Because eventually, like he did in the Old Testament, he can't take it anymore. I can't allow them to hurt themselves anymore. And he comes in and he mounts up that standard. So if there's any bright side of this at all, it's not, and you have to understand what I'm saying, The bright side is that we're getting closer and closer to the anointing of the Lord that can stop these things that are going on. And that's exciting as far as I'm concerned. Wouldn't it be some Christian stands up in front of that truck and says, in the name of Jesus, I stop this truck from moving forward. With the power and the authority and the anointing of the Lord, and all of a sudden the engine falls off. And I've heard many, many miracles, signs and wonders around the world where the Lord entered in. When I was in Korea, we went to a small church in a village right close to the DMZ. And they had told us a story about how the communists would come down over the line and kill the Christians. So one day, the communists came in at night, I should say, and they stayed and they took the town and all the leaders, and especially the priests and the ministers, and they put them up against the wall. And they got the rest of the town around them. This is what we do. We're in South Korea. They come down from the north. And they lined them all against the wall. And there was about, from what I understand, 12 or so gunmen with rifles. And they lined them up and they shot. But nothing came out of their guns. And they said this, and I believe them. They saw angels put their finger in the guns so they wouldn't shoot, wouldn't go off. What a silly story. I'll tell you, I want an angel to stick his finger in the gun that someone's pointing at me. I'll take it. God can do anything. And when we recognize that there is this attempt by the enemy that is going to be defeated, and that we are the ones that God wants to use. I don't know about you, that makes me feel good. If there is any hope, let there be hope in God. So we've been looking at this, and how to move in spiritual warfare for others as we've been looking at. And as I said, we know about ministry. What are to be the results? Now that I know, and we started this series here, what is to be our response? And I said before that faith without works is dead. A Christian sitting on his Bible, someone gave me a little plaque that says, you can know the Christian by his Bible. If it's worn out, he's powerful. I know a lot of people that love their Bibles. It's a nice, clean thing. It sets on the coffee table. You walk up, there's dust on it. You can tell a Christian by how well his Bible is worn, or how many notches he puts on his Bible. Do you have notches on your Bible? What's a notch? A notch is someone that you led to the Lord. I've got a Bible that's completely notched. In fact, it's completely everything. But that's where our truth lies. That's what we are to do, to be doers of the word. Abraham's faith and deeds worked together. He proved faith and deeds worked together. He proved that his faith was real by what he did. Anyone who doesn't breathe is dead. And faith that doesn't do anything is just as dead. And that other version, removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have is a corpse. Why would the Lord give us this treasure of the Holy Spirit? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And then say, I don't want you to do anything with it. we would probably pop. Because what's happening, like the worship this morning, when we stand in God's presence, what's happening is the Holy Spirit is growing within us. And it's supposed to be growing within us. We are to be looking at the Lord in a growing capacity that He gets bigger and bigger every day. And the whole purpose of our lifestyles, what we do in using the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, is that watching God get bigger. And eventually you come to a point where you can believe God for anything, which His Word says. You either feed the enemy or you feed the Lord. And I've told you before, what happens when we begin to evaluate situations in this, look what happened this past week. God, where were you? I had people call me out, where was God? I said, He was on the side of the road crying. He's with the cops, family, crying, calling out to the church, rise up. Rise up, men, women of God, because I've given you permission over the powers of the enemy, and they cannot move without permission. Like Jesus wept over Jerusalem, if you only knew what you had, if you'd only knew, you could have had all that you're looking for and more. And Jesus is saying to this nation, to the church, if you only knew who you are, you could be that same effect around the world as you once were. If you only allow me to stir up within you the gifts that's been given to you, to bring revelation, to bring understanding, if you only knew what you could do and who you could influence. Those people that I brought across your path, those areas, if you knew. And the Lord said to me, tell them. And I said, I'm going to tell them, Lord. And I'm going to tell them online. I'm going to follow them home. I'll do whatever is necessary. That the church is the answer, because Jesus is in the church and the Holy Spirit is in within us. We looked at, in fact, I'm going to go through very quickly here. You've got them all. I put them on your list so you can have them all in one time. Calling, I will live in my like an overcomer. I will use my authority, as we went a couple weeks ago. I have the ability to change things. I am to minister for the Lord. I will use the keys. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing this stuff, folks. And it's not like taking out a checklist. It's just going with the anticipation that God is going to use you today. All you got to do is show up. Lord, here I am. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad. And what would you have me to do? The Lord says, keep walking. I'll show you when you get there. And what we do is with that anticipation, not the woe is me or all that, with the anticipation, Lord, I'm walking. This is the road you told me to take today. I'm walking down this road, and I expect whenever it's necessary, you're going to give me whatever is necessary to do and give me the ability to do it. And it's that anticipation of God showing up because you showed up. And I told you last week about everywhere you put your foot, God says, I've already been there. Because you are to bring the kingdom of God into that place. Presbyterian Church. Have nothing against the Presbyterians. I will use the keys to the kingdom to bind and set free. If we don't bind them up to the word of the Lord, bind them with the word of the Lord, and loose them from the powers of hell. Then what happens? That person becomes bound to hell. And the enemy can do whatever he wants to do. That's what it says in Scripture. We went on, talked about God's ambassador. I know that I am totally equipped, and I will live like a conqueror. The next thing, I've been given permission to use the Lord's name. I told you, we talked about that. I am a miracle worker, can defeat the powers of the enemy. I acknowledge that I can defeat hell. Whatever the Holy Spirit witnesses to you as hell, you can defeat that. And we see it every day. This is not new. You can see the anger. You can see the robbery. You can see the frustration. You can see it on the television screen, in the news. What I'm here and underlining the fact, that is hell at work. Divorce is hell at work. Any kind of robbery is hell at work. And it's going to come, like I said, according to Scripture, it's going to become more and more evident that this is what, how could anybody in their right mind get in a truck, ride down in the name of Allah? How can anybody conjure up that kind of madness? It's going to become more and more obvious that these are not sick people. They are manipulated by a power that is beyond them. And once we recognize that, the church will recognize it. And you have been given authority over the powers of the enemy. The next thing is, I can demonstrate God's love. What would Jesus do? John chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Somewhere in Scripture, it says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the most powerful agent, that weapon that we have. And when we love like Jesus did, it's amazing how people can be set free from the powers of the enemy. Love would never do these kinds of things that we see through ISIS and through these other people. That's the opposite of love. And as I mentioned last week, that one church where the guy came in and shot the pastors and people in a prayer meeting, and that whole town, gathered the church, and then the whole church gathered around and said, we must love and not hate. We must not allow this to continue on. And it was a word that swept the whole nation. No retaliation, not out in the streets. And they talked to the people who were these paid agitators, by the way. Black Lives Matter. Can you imagine saying Black Lives Matter, but all lives don't matter? You can't say all lives matter because you're a hater. What? What? And don't ever say that blue lives matter. You'll have to shoot you too. Who can conjure up that? Who can conjure up that? But what they did is they used the very principles of the Bible and literally quelched the whole riot possibility. Love conquers all. Are there people that are unlovable? You bet. No looking around. I have to say that. There are people that are unlovable, and you know some of them. So what do you do? Have you ever had someone that just met someone or family or whatever that's really just tough to love? You know? I have. Just, in fact, I have more opportunities than you do. And I said, Lord, I'd like to love them with a brick. I don't know if I can do this, Lord. He says, you can't. There are people that are going to come across your path that are absolutely impossible to love in your own self. But I asked the Lord, okay, you can love them through me. I'll go there and be a hypocrite. Devil said, you're a hypocrite. You don't really mean this. I said, you're right, but I'm doing it out of obedience. And then the Lord says, I'm going to give you a clue how to do this. And I said, please do. He says, ask me to show them to you the way I see them. And I said, that's not fair. They didn't hurt you, they hurt me. He didn't answer. It's like me and Peter, just be still. He said, what I want to do, if you're going to be used by me and you do not go with a motivation of love, you are worthless to me. Yeah. Without love, it's what? Impossible to please God. So I can go and do as many, go out and feed the poor. I can do all, I've seen people that out there working themselves, feeding the poor and whatever, come back and complain. You see that dirty this and whatever, and how could they possibly, and just do nothing but chop them up. Or complain and all that kind of stuff while they're doing something that was supposed to be nice. If you can't do it in love, don't do it. Now sometimes you got to work up to it. But what we do is, for those whole the harder situations, I say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. Start with that. I'm going to love this person, even though you know them and whatever, but I'm doing it for you. I'm going to be obedient so that you get glory. And the reason why the Lord loves to do it that way is because he wants us, our action, to bring glory to the Lord, not to ourselves. So the harder it is, the more glory is brought to the Lord when we do it. Right? That makes sense? So what you're doing, you're releasing the power of God. God, so what did he do? Love the world. And anybody that comes to a place where they're seeing that Jesus Christ died for me, and that revelation comes, you can't help but be overwhelmed with that. That's love that is absolutely inexcusable, unable to be dealt with. You can't. Someone came and died for me so that I could have life. That is, it's overwhelming. When we go in Jesus' name, because Jesus loves that person. Another thing he showed me, by the way, when I see people that are unlovable, most of them are hurting. Most of them are wounded. Most of them do not have the tools to be able to deal with it. And they don't know how to deal with love because they're used to fighting with people. And you go in Jesus' name. You don't have to say that. But I want you to know I'm here for you if you ever need me. What are you saying? What do you want from me? And I just want to let you know. That's the reason I don't tell people outside that I'm a pastor. Because I'm supposed to do this stuff. Well, that's what you can do that because you're a pastor. I don't do that because I'm a pastor. I do it because I love Jesus. And you go in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm going in your name, and I'm bringing the kingdom of God everywhere I step, and I'm an ambassador for you, and I know, Lord, that you're going to back me up. Now, I'm going to be facing that person today, Lord, and I know that they're probably planning something against me. And they're using the little key words that just ring my bell. And you had people ring your bell? You can just sit there and I went, bing, oh. Just hit the right word, just sit, like nail scratching on a blackboard. You know what? When in doubt, don't talk. Cough. Before you do something, give yourself a moment so it's not knee-jerk reaction. Because that's exactly, if you learn to take a breath, you can cough. I tell guys, when they see a ill-clad or low woman, fill in the blank, what are we supposed to do? I say, cough. And turn your head. Well, you know, I said, cough and turn your head. The longer you deal with it, the longer you feel that temptation, the harder it gets. Turn your head. Well, that's a beautiful, I'm just admiring. Turn your head. If there's any guilt whatsoever, before someone, if someone rings your bell, take a breath. Give your mind enough time and the Holy Spirit enough time to interrupt what you want to do. Love always conquers. Always. Always. It always conquers. You go with love. You want to get that person to change? Love them. Love them. Lord, how can I love them today? I just decided to bring you Starbucks. Just wanted to, what are you doing that for? You probably poison it. That's people. The more, the harder they are, the more glory the Lord gets, right? Quickly. Expect to do exploits. I expect to do things that I cannot do. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, one of my favorite, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. How many exploits have you done this year? How many people know their God? How many exploits have you done? Simple question. Those that know their God, exploits are supposed to take place. Next, I will act upon my anointing. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That's a pretty powerful verse, isn't it? Guaranteeing. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. All of you know the truth. I will act upon my anointing. Next, I will live like I win. Cannot be defeated. I know my God, I will. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because God, you have already foreseen this day today, and you called me a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. How about living that way? Wouldn't it be nice, had a gazillion dollars in the bank, you get up in the morning, how do you feel? I got it all. I'm as happy as a camper. Yeah, a camper can be, and I don't, for those who like camping. It's sort of a, you know what I'm talking about? When the bills are paid, you got enough money in the bank, and you're feeling good? Well, let's do something. energy and all that kind of stuff. How many people know what I'm talking about? Right? It's just like, that's the way we're supposed to live as Christians. We win. I look at that stuff on the news so I could pray for it, but I say, we win. We win. Devil, you are a liar. You are a deceiver. We win. And you might win this battle, but we win. And I'm going to keep telling you that over and over and over again. When the devil, there's an old saying, when the devil tries to remind you of your past, tell him about his future. Amen. We win. And I'm going to live that way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Matthew 17:20. If you have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. No weapon formed against us will prevail. And the Lord was with him, and he was successful whatever he undertook. Brooke, when I say that we win, Jesus is saying, and when I tell you, you put your name in there. Put your name in there. And the Lord was with me. And I was successful in whatever I undertook. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when you think you're invincible, you will be invincible. And when you have the joy of the Lord in your heart and get rid of the garbage that the enemy is trying to fill your head full to neutralize you, then life takes on a whole different perspective. And you begin to smell the roses and appreciate the day. And all of a sudden, it just, the greens get greener and the blues get bluer and the reds get redder and all those kind of, it's just like, wow, Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many know you can do this? How many people are going to do it? I'll follow you home. We can. And once we start doing, you will start seeing the miracles from God take place through your life because he needs you. Amen? Amen? Bow with me as we close. Father, thank you again. Thank you again and again and again and again and again for all that you've done, for all that you're going to do, for all of the revelation. Father, there's people right now that don't know this stuff. And they're living life bound. There are Christians that don't know this stuff. And they're living life that's no different than the world, powerless. Father, I pray that we get the word out, that by your Holy Spirit, that you will send that revelation to stir up the church, to bring us to a place where we recognize that we are the answer to the ills of this world. That we come, Father, showing up with an expectancy to see this mighty force that was in us change the world. Royal priesthood. The power of God that defeats anything and everything. And we will take back, God, this nation. Take back and destroy the powers of hell. Lord, I claim that for your church. I claim it for them, Father. I claim it. I want you to say, I claim it for myself. Just take a moment to talk to the Lord. One of the greatest things that we can do in the midst of all is to worship the Lord. That is the empowering. That is the cleansing of the mind, the renewing of the spirit, and the re-establish our focus. You can look up. I want us to close with this. We sang it this morning, worshiping the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and give the Lord a praise offering. Turn to someone and say, you win. Absolutely. Amen. are you. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I thank you. You are exalted, God. And Lord, we acknowledge that place which is above everything. And there's going to come a time where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We take that time now, Lord, and we confess that to you. And I pray for my brother and my sister that, Lord, they will be sensitive to your desire to move through their lives, to love through their lives, to live through their lives. That this week would be a week of victory, a week of your presence, a week of resting in you, knowing that you've gone before us to prepare a way. And even though it might not look, God, right now that the door is going to be open or whatever that situation might be, but Lord, we claim to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you know exactly what you're doing. So I bless my brother and my sister. I thank you for them. And I thank you for the revelation that you're going to show them this next week. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Lord, we receive your anointing. We adore you, Lord. We thank you for the infilling of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your presence and for your peace and for your provision and for your health and for your wisdom and for your anointing. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us more than we need, exceedingly abundantly, and we ask that you might help us to use that this next week for your glory. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And I claim that, Father, and we agree together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around, give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in the Lord. Amen.
Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.